That's the best one right there.
It's funny, my teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. And you're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Poor Man's Package Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joined as always with Kyle and Hank. Boys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hank, welcome back. Nice to have you after a, I don't know, what has it been? It's been like an every
feels
other...
Feels like a month, 6 months.
Yeah, you come and go as you please, you know, a little bit of fame and
busy
all of
man.
A sudden it's straight to your head. You think you can call the shots?
Mm-hmm.
What's new with you, Hank?
Not much. First, I'd like to make a huge apology to Verbal Gunslinger.
yeah.
I just wanted you go to know on. That like I was already feeling guilty. And then when I saw that tweet last week.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Those who don't know, Verbal Gunslinger is probably our number one fan.
Isn't
at this
it Gunslinger?
Point. It might be. I think he's overtaken Chelsea at this point. She's kind of missing in action right now on Twitter, but I think he's filled in nicely. So,
yeah.
Hank,
yes.
Continue.
Yeah. So I just.
What is the tweet that we're referencing here?
He tweets us a lot and he said he's got to get his act together. Hank,
yeah,
needs
I
to
do
got to
get my act
oh,
together.
Oh, yeah. He's right.
You know, and speaking of getting like my act together, it's been cold lately, you
mm-hmm.
know?
It's getting cold, yeah.
And like I don't know, I was at work and you know I'm doing the cart line, and when it gets cold, it's like I didn't have hand warmers, so I was sticking my hands down my pants, and my boss caught me. He's like, "Can't be doing that." So, you know, now I've been.
Well,
been,
were you going front or back to warm your hands?
It you know, it just depended on who was watching, and so, I don't know, like I've been bringing hand warmers, you know, some you know sometimes I'll. You grab a towel and I'll warm it up in the sink in the bathroom and
maybe that's what you need for Christmas. We need to get you one of the Aaron Rodgers fanny pack hand warmers.
Ooh.
I've actually got one of those. Great segue here. I'll be hunting this weekend and they have the little fanny packs too to warm your hands and so you don't have to wear gloves. So you know you're always ready to pull that trigger if a big old buck comes out of
very
the woods.
Very nice.
Yeah. Exactly. Or you know, or Karen. Gets out of your SUV and sees you standing behind a row of carts and mean mugs you and
right.
talks to your boss.
Relatable.
Very relatable. Something else, I'll bring this up. Before last week, Hank and I did hang out in the real world, and it's a very Hank thing to have happen. We went.
Do you
and
guys
saw,
hang out in the virtual world, too?
Sometimes. It just depends.
We will eventually. I'm sure we'll have to have Zoom episodes.
Oh,
so.
The metaverse, sorry.
Yes. But we went and saw the movie The Eternals. Right in on character.
Yeah.
Hank halfway through got up, got a pizza.
A pizza? A whole pizza.
A whole pizza at the movie theater. Whoa. Ate it.
That's incredible.
Ate it all by himself and then fell asleep right after.
So just to be fair, it was a Friday night, right? It was a Friday night.
In the movie theater?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Friday night. It was busy, you know. And I saw the pizza beforehand, and I saw that it was $8 for a small, and it was like $11 for a large. And so if I'm spending $8, $3 more isn't that much, right? So, and Friday, payday. And
right,
so
right,
I was
yeah.
like, better splurge. And so, yeah, I thought about it for about half the movie, and then I was getting a little sleepy. So I stood up, walked around a bit, decided on the large. Well, and like, I don't know, like sometimes those pizzas at a movie theater, like they'll be like more like personal pizzas, right?
Yes.
But no, this
yes.
was like, this was like a goddamn like Hedgie's pizza, you know?
And, movie theater yeah. serving pizza is new to me.
Yeah. And yeah. so I was carrying it back and like it had like the cardboard, right? And it was like greasy and hot. Getting and so
soggy,
I'm like trying
nice.
Not to drop it. And then I just, then I like, yeah, I just slowly ate it. And
got
then
the
I
itis and...
fell asleep and I woke up with a greasy cardboard pizza
I literally
in my lap.
I bumped Hank to wake up after the first post credit scene happened. I was like, "Damn, did you see that?" And I'm like, "Oh, were you sleeping?" Yes. So
All right, let's talk about football.
Yeah, let's. We can now that that's over with. We can talk about football. The Packers won 17-0 against the Seattle Seahawks in Lambeau Field. We'll talk about the game. We'll have our pick six, the six plays that shaped the game, break down the offense and defense. We'll have take news for the week. Hey, everyone's talking about. We'll talk about it too. The stock sale, which is currently going on. After that, we'll have our normal Is Kyle an Idiot? Some Packers trivia. And then we'll have our preview of the Vikings game for this weekend. And then we'll have, according to Hank, this week too. Right, Hank?
Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. Okay, well, without further ado, pick six.
Yes.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
Yes! All right, first pick six play for the week. Currently at this time of the game for this play, it is 0-0. Second down, Packers are in Seattle territory just after crossing midfield. Rodgers takes the snap. No one is open, and slowly the pressure gets to him. He is sacked, pushed out of field goal range. Rasheen Green is the guy who did it. They throw it to Devontae on third down, pick a couple more yards to get into field goal range, but that leads to the Mason Crosby missed field goal. I guess I'll just say this. We've said too many times on the show, we are the number one Packer snapping long snapper podcast. Mm-hmm. This one and the hold both look pretty good.
This looked like a straight up miss from everything. But the kick looked solid. Yeah, the whole operation besides the actual, you know, kick was solid. The snap looked good, hold looked good. He was able to spin it, get the laces out. But yeah, it was kind of a similar drive to, I think, maybe Washington, where they were moving the ball down the field and, you know, you felt good. And then just a second down sack kind of just sucks the air out of the building.
Yeah.
And the drive stalls. And then, yeah, the missed kick, no points, gut punch.
I felt like it was a good one just to get it going because the offense, I don't know if you guys remember, wasn't too productive for three quarters of this game, kind of like last week.
Well, and like, I don't know. Like, I can't blame Mason totally for that because it is like one of those things where it's been like the process, the long snapping,
the operation,
like everything, the operation has been so bad that he's probably like compensating for it. And
100%.
He's like, yeah, he's like, okay, this is going to be bad. I'm going to need to really like, I don't know, like do something different. And then it was good. And what do you do?
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prepare for that?
This is my hot take. Maybe it's not too hot, but I think it's going to be premature probably, but I feel decent about the field goal unit now. I think that was kind of the bump in the road, that missed field goal, because Mason's like, okay, that one's on me. Maybe I can trust you guys now. The two extra points that we had were completely fine, and all the snaps have been windy.
They did say it was windy, so they're saying wind could have been an effect with that kick, but it's never affected Mason before.
It was a weird kick how it came off straight and then went directly right. So yeah.
You know when you're like trying to, like, you have that one person you can never get a handshake quite right. It's like a handshake, fist bump, or a dap, and then you're like, okay, well, like this time, like, you know, Troy is gonna end up giving me the like the fist bump, right? Yeah. And then like you're ready for it, and it's
he goes for the business handshake.
Then you're like right in the palm,
and then
like,
he
fuck.
Goes for the fist, and then you go for the the worst.
Like it is.
I've always struggled when we watch the game.
I always struggle with fisting.
When we watch the game at your house, Hank. When we left, it was that same thing because I'm someone who early 20s and now, you know, 29 years old.
Yeah, not so early 20s
early
anymore, 20s. Spenny.
No, I'm saying this whole range. Oh, like now yeah. I'm exiting the kind of, well, I like to think the kind of dap territory. So now I'm always going handshakes. And when we left your place to watch the Cardinals game, I went for the handshake. You came in for a little bit of, you know, that little pull at the end. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I was shaking, so I
was just sad you were leaving, and like I wanted to get close one last time.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But I wanted to bring up a point how, you know, we always talk about like the narratives that show up on games that are like repeating over and over until it happens. Like this year was the red zone defense.
Yep.
And then I think the year before was opening drive touchdowns.
Yep.
Now one is forming, and it's the first quarter points.
Yeah.
They've scored 0 points in I think like 7 of their games this year.
Yeah.
So that's something that is probably going to be one of those things that is going to show up on every graphic on the broadcast until they actually score a point in the first quarter.
Yeah, shit, that's a good point. Well, we'll have to see. Hopefully, it's one of those. It's almost, you know, we saw it with the Chiefs this week, completely different thing. But everyone's like, oh, the Chiefs are struggling. Oh, the Chiefs are struggling. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, never mind. Yeah, they're the Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah, it's Patrick
Mahomes. But, I mean, no, that makes the Jordan Love game look that much better, I think.
We're going into the fourth quarter. I'm like, God damn it. Rodgers is Jordan Love right now. You know, it's been not exactly, but it's the same type of scoreboard and everything going into fourth quarter.
Hot take.
Give Love a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hank, you got a quick Love take? You weren't able to...
Love.
You weren't with us last week. So what did you think of Jordan?
Yeah, I still love. I feel bad for the guy. Like, why? I just feel like he wasn't really set up for success in that game.
Yeah.
And, like, that doesn't, like, remove all blame or be like, oh, like, whatever. But, like, I remember, like, the first four games, Justin Field plays, like absolute ass in, like, a lot of those games. And I just remember everyone just, like,
ready to write
pampering.
Him off.
No, like, everyone was, like, still, like, Justin Fields fans, right?
Oh, true, yeah.
And, like, I don't know. Like, there's just always, like, I feel like Love just, I'm just, like, willing to give him the same chance, like, people give other QBs.
Yes.
It's not unreasonable
at all.
It is weird to see how different young quarterbacks are treated. Like, you saw Mitch Trubisky. We all know now that he wasn't that great of a quarterback when he was starting for the Bears. But God, Justin Fields, it's something like because the draft complex thought he was a good player and everyone thought it was a good move to move up.
I mean, he did throw 50 touchdowns in the Big Ten.
True that. But then it's like that along with Matt Nagy being the head coach has given him so many excuses when, you know, Jordan Love, we have been pretty hard on him and I have been. But it's like something weird with Jordan with Fields where no one wants to like criticize him too much.
And I'm happy to do it. I will bear that burden.
And like I think Fields is like a good rookie QB and like he's last few games he's looked pretty good.
It's 10 and, like meh average plays and then one really
there
good.
There was one Sunday I wasn't able to catch I think most of the game where they played the Niners and I remember checking Twitter and people just going nuts. Like, holy shit, Justin Fields, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then I look at his stat line, I'm like, this is what we're going crazy. I mean, it was an incredible play he made, run he made. It was awesome, but, like, he threw for, like, 160 yards, a pick, and it's like, this is what we're going nuts over? Like,
well, and then I, like, look back at, I don't know, like, I look back at, like, someone like Lamar and how much, like, shit Lamar got for years.
And
Lamar is, like, continually, like, played really
elite.
Well in big moments
elite.
Like I know like the first playoff time he had like wasn't great but like this year how many games has he like come back
and
like
a handful already
he literally an MVP candidate this year. He's won an MVP but because he was what a late first rounder you know it's been a long
teams
thing
wanting
for
to play fucking running back like
it's a long process just for everyone exhausting. To agree that he's a good player
but like when you see I don't know like it's just it's wild to me because like you see Justin Fields make that play and it's just like this absolute like celebration like this kid's the future and then you see like Lamar make that play 2 years ago and people are like he's gonna get injured and 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Or he should just go to running back full time.
And Lamar, that one play where Lamar scored that touchdown, he split like everyone down the field his first year.
Cincinnati.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
That play.
Second piss six play.
Wow.
quite the tangent.
The second piss six play. Seahawks ball. It's 3-0 right now. Packers got a field goal. 3rd and 5 mid second quarter. Packers rush 4. They're down, like I said, and Gary eventually picks up a sack, just power move, brings him down, forces the Seahawks to punt.
He was getting, and he was causing havoc all day, it felt like. Like, he was, there was plenty of times where he was right there, almost ready to make the play. But Russell, a little weasel in the pocket. He'll shimmy out of there and good on his feet, but it was good to get home there.
I don't know if there's a better quarterback in like a small pocket than Russell Wilson. He does more with less aside from this game, I guess, but you know, I think we only ended up with 2 sacks on the day, which is incredible for 38 pressures, I believe, or 32 pressures at the Packers.
It's funny, his size was like his biggest criticism coming out, and now it's like such an advantage for when he's in the pocket like that.
Yeah.
It's funny to think about.
And as a wild, he just doesn't look fast. Mm-hmm. Like, and he, I know he is fast.
He's,
I know he
he's
is
more
fast.
Quick than fast.
Yeah. Like, but it's just, I don't know. Like, sometimes he'd like, when he took off and started running, I was like, oh, they're going to catch
like when
him.
He's, yeah. When he's exiting the pocket, yeah. he looks quick. But once he actually gets in open field and strides, yeah, he looks pretty slow.
Like, I don't know. There's something about the way that he moves that, in like, the, my brain doesn't compute.
I don't. I was gonna say his first move is always fast to me. Like that first move when he goes from quarterback to running back or whatever, real quick. That's what is most impressive for me. But back to like Gary and the pressure. It's crazy. A lot of tangents this week so far. It's another thing. Just going back, and it's like we said last year, and it's this year again. How the week one narratives just you kind of build off them. But week one, how the front four. You know, we would just bring the first four guys, didn't get any pressure at all, and now. We'll see what happens with Merciless, but we're able to create some type of pressure just about every single play, just bringing our base guys
and that,
in.
That reminds me about week one narratives, how I try to make it a point to now apologize to Joe Barry at the beginning of every episode, so I missed that. So let me take the time to say I'm sorry, Joe Barry. You are pretty scary.
Ooh.
Joe Barry is pretty scary, and yeah, we were wrong.
Yeah, I will like probably concede that he is alive.
All right, yeah, perfect. He is a real person.
Yeah, I forgot about our weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, like he's making I believe that he is making the decisions and he's doing a very good job.
It's just tough to always to have reoccurring bits because I feel like I should explain them just because some people probably aren't listening all season. Yeah. So there's, you know, like a couple weeks ago too.
I mean, you'll pick it up.
Also, this is a pure knock on wood.
That is actually really. Is that is a good coffee
that
table.
That is a good coffee table.
It's a coffee table that my dad made. His name is Smuts.
Smuts.
Smuts. That is his nickname, not his real name. Third, piss six play. Third and 10, Wilson drops back, gets pressured first by Preston, and runs to the left. The Seahawks are in the red zone already here. Throws it to the corner of the end zone where one Kevin King jumps in front of it, catches it, goes to the ground. The ball might squirt out, but he picks it back up, runs. He's all happy. We go to commercial break, not really sure what's going on. And the most weird, like, official
decision.
Review
yeah.
ever, where it's just like the ref doesn't say anything. I guess they just, you know, said it stands. It didn't officially review it. Just whistles it. All right, we're playing. And Packers turnover. Kevin
yeah,
King
no,
actually
no announcement
caught the ball.
Or anything. Yeah, that was cool. But yeah, good for Kevin, man. I mean, even it's like even when he makes the great play, it's like he can't like 100% make the great play. Like he yeah. just left that 0.03% chance of it going terribly wrong, and it's like
there's always doubt in the Kevin King play.
But I love you, Kevin, but come on,
he's played well the last 2 weeks.
Oh yeah,
I saw Dyer, whatever his last name is, on Twitter posted that he's like the top rated corner since week 5, which is like, oh cool. But I dove into that too. It's like he's only played in 3 games since week 5, so if we could probably pump the brakes a little bit. But
he's played well.
Overall, yes. I mean, the secondary as a whole, it's crazy yeah. how well they've
been
playing.
You don't pick the stat. The stat picks you.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, the Kirk Cousins, yeah. You know, he's lived by picking stats for people.
Just find the nice window.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The fourth piss six play, Packers ball, 3rd and 6, pretty similar to the Russell Wilson one we just talked about. Rodgers evades the rush, rolls out to the right, starts getting out of it, and just before getting hit, he lets the ball out, throws it to one, Josiah DeGuara, misses him quite a bit, and it is picked off by, God, what's his nickname again? The safety for the Seahawks.
Is it Diggs?
No, not Diggs.
Jamal Adams.
Blitz Boy. Blitz Boy.
Is Diggs a safety, too?
He's the guy for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Trevon Diggs. Yeah. He's really good.
Well, I thought there was a
Diggs. Quandre Diggs.
Quandre yeah. Diggs.
Oh, I got you now. Okay. Yeah. Oh, a lot of Diggs in the league. But yeah, Rodgers throws a pick in the red zone. Doesn't happen too often. My conspiracy brain, I do think he knew it was a bad ball. It was 3rd and 6. Maybe the field goal wasn't going to happen. And he saw Josiah DeGuara. So he's like, I'll throw it by him. If it doesn't happen, I can at least yell at him after the play for not being in the
right
spot.
I mean, it really was like, jaw-droppingly uncharacteristic from Aaron yeah. Rodgers. I mean, that was like you never. I mean, you rarely see that like just in the league in general anymore. Like I feel like quarterbacks have, you know, as a whole gotten better.
Well, we're blessed that we don't see it very often.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't really. But like you just never see, because if he's going to make a throw like that, like on the run, you know, with the pressure, it's going to be, you know, on a rope or at someone's feet or out of the end zone. But that was like a pure, like a punt, like into the, it was so bizarre, so uncharacteristic. Watching it back, I was even more shocked.
I was going to say, you assume when those plays happen and the ball is coming out, there's either someone wide open or he's throwing it out of the end zone.
Yeah, to the second row, but oof, very weird.
Yeah, a little rusty coming back.
And I was very like, because like the meme now with Jamal Adams is like he had Vince Wilfork has like more career interceptions than him, but now they're like tied.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that. And it's like, oh, I was just like, kind of had some embarrassment, like, man, you really let that dude pick you off.
And he posted that picture on Twitter too, saying like, meme this. I don't understand how some people run their social, whatever, that shit doesn't matter. I need to stop talking about that.
No
shit.
You're our number one social media behavior analyst.
Yeah, well, you don't want me to get on Zedarius, because Zedarius of course had to, you can't,
you
do
got
it.
Me actually.
I don't even want to explain on here, but I'll say, I'm sure people saw the post Zedarius had on Instagram. It was posted on Twitter as well, where he was in line someplace and some lady couldn't afford like $2,000 for a water pump, which apparently is too expensive anyway. So who knows if it was actually that much. But you can't do a good deed apparently without posting it on social media. And Zedarius was guilty of that today. But it's still, hey, very nice to do that. Yeah, I'm glad
Kyle,
you did that.
You're the worst. You're just the worst.
Hey, I hate myself too, Kyle. Don't worry.
I will say, like, I don't know, the she was crying and I was crying bit, like that might have been.
Now
where
we got
that,
two social media.
No, I'm just saying, like, there was something about the deed. The deed was nice, like, whatever. Like, that just happens. Like, you know, like, it seems like people with money just want to show that
they got some
give
money
away, mm-hmm. And do stuff for people, like, mm-hmm. Chad Johnson. But I kind of love Chad Johnson.
Who doesn't
like,
love Chad
yeah,
Johnson?
Like, I kind of love when he does it. Anyways, what I will say is the, like, she was crying and I was crying line was like, I was like, okay, like, I'm too cynical for this. I just lived through, like, a year of COVID and, like, and like quarantine, and I don't know, like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not crying.
It's a very nice gesture, but okay, whatever. Moving on. This has been the most back and forth pick six.
Honestly,
we've ever had.
We gotta make up for Hankless week.
All right, back to actual positive stuff. You know, the first three quarters of the game seemed to be one thing where it was just slugging along, but then some positive things on offense here. Third and goal. Packers finally driving, getting a full drive together here. Dylan takes the handoff from Rodgers in the shotgun, takes a snap and runs it in for the score, does a Lambo leap. And I said this to you guys, I might have posted it on Twitter too. One of those, and I'm trying to think who's referenced this. I think Donald Driver brought it up back in the day. But you always know rookie or first-time leapers because they just jump straight into the stands. It's a jump and twist that you're supposed to do so that you're facing the field, not the fans. AJ just dives right in, his first
belly flop,
his first Lambo leap with fans. Last year he did without fans, so now hopefully he'll learn. And, of course, the star of the offensive line so far this year, Elgton Jenkins. I was preparing myself for a flag for a team celebration, which maybe they got rid of that rule. But two guys jumping into the stands, pretty nice. Got the team going.
Can you
after
just
that.
Imagine seeing AJ Dillon come at you and being like, like, brace yourself, you know? And then all of a sudden, yeah. Elgton is coming behind, right. And like, yeah. You start seeing like the ground shaking a little bit.
Well, if you look back too, you can see in the replay. Everyone listening, you have to go back and look now. There's one dude in between both of them where he's like celebrating with AJ Dillon, and then he looks to the left. He's like, "Oh shit, Elgton Jenkins,
gives
what's
him a
going
big
on?"
Hug. Yeah.
I had no idea that there was another guy right next to him. But overall, that started to get the team going. Next, piss six play, the highlight of the game probably. Packers ball after a Wilson pick, second and six on our own 25. Rodgers takes the snap, goes through his reads, dumps it down to A.J. Dillon, who once again, like every week, has to just catch a ball off the ground, another low pass.
Down on it by his shins. Just sticky-ass hands. It's unbelievable.
Picks it up, runs out of one tackle, stiffs arm another dude downfield, and is eventually taken down by Wagner at Seattle's 25, picks up 50. He eventually scores on a couple plays later, but one of those where A.J. Dillon, you know, more of the ground and pound kind of guy, but to see him make a big play like that, especially out of the backfield, very encouraging, especially with Aaron Jones' injury that popped up. But, I mean, after that, it's like, okay, cool. We don't have to worry about this game going to shit against Seattle.
Especially, like, down the sideline like that, to be nimble. And, like, you know, that's such an easy, well, not an easy, but just a shove out of bounds, you know, to stop the bleeding. But he just kept straight line and just, like, these arm tackles rubbing it off like nothing.
I just feel like Davante Adams was more excited about his footwork on that drive than anything. Well, like, he was just, pumped
up.
Well,
MVS made an incredible, you know, peel back block on one of the DBs that was out there, and Devontae starts celebrating with him mid play.
Yeah.
AJ's still chugging along, and then he gets tackled, and here comes Devontae into the screen and just gives him a two hand shove. Like one of those that could, you know, knock the wind out of you. It was a very aggressive shove, but he was very pumped up.
So Adams was a little surprised by that play too. It's weird, and I think what we talked about last year, we didn't see too much AJ Dillon. We obviously talked about the legs, but something else I think we talked about early on was how he like flips. Remember how he'd get tackled and his like legs would go over his body? It's like he has those plays, and again, he's for such a big dude, he spins a lot. Like on the sideline too, he was able to keep that balance and kind of spin around and keep running forward.
Center of gravity with them quads, man.
Yeah, it's we'll see more of him going forward, but it's hard not to get excited the more we see AJ Dillon, and it's nice that Matt actually stuck with the run at least in the second half.
Well, now with obviously the Aaron Jones injury, now we'll get a full dose of AJ coming in the coming weeks.
I've been excited for AJ.
Oh, really? We didn't know.
You like AJ Dillon?
I just want to say that I never lost faith, even after the two fumbles.
That's good.
I knew it was an anomaly.
Finding Nemo anemone right there. But, yep, that's what we have for the pick six. Once again, the Packers won 17-0 against Seattle.
We can make the offense probably pretty quick.
Yeah, well, I think we've got enough to talk about here. There's some little questions that did pop up. But, yes, very weird game. It's weird how – so it kind of reminded me, what was the low-scoring game we just had that we ended up winning? It wasn't –
Bears?
Yeah, maybe it was the Bears. But
24-14?
My brain, because I was at that Washington game a couple of years ago. The Washington game wasn't very good this year either, I guess. But
I think that was 24-14 as well.
Yeah. But like a couple of years ago, I think we won, you know, and we had like 17 points or something. There's something weird about this game too, where it sucked for three quarters, but it's almost because the fourth quarter was so much fun. Like the rest of the week has been so much better because it's like, okay, everything was working in the fourth quarter where we forgot everything else.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know the first three quarters were kind of stuck in my mind, but yeah, it was cool to see them get going in the fourth finally.
Yeah. We'll be optimistic going forward. Aaron Rodgers, I guess we can talk about him, his first game back after COVID. He did say he was tired after the game, which can't remember him ever saying he's tired, but it has been a long week for only football reasons. He was 23 for 37, 292 yards, and the one pick. Kind of a ho-hum game. Once again, this season, just about every single week, he has a run. He had two where he picked up first downs. One of them came back due to a penalty, but I don't know, had a couple weird plays, back-to-back plays. He missed Lazard, and then he missed MVS, which either one of those would have been big pickups. But I'm going to pose this question to you guys, especially if you look at the last month. How do we feel about this offense going forward? Because it isn't as clunky as it was back then, but I'm starting to get like the 2019 vibes on offense right now.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
I think we might be missing Tonyan quite a bit. DeGuara doesn't seem to have the same chemistry he does as with Rodgers. I'm still the main conductor on the MVS Express, and I know it's going to happen, but I just like when, like I think it's going to happen every single week, and he's just too fast to not score an 80-yard touchdown at some point. It needs to happen.
And he always tricks us because this game too, the first drive,
where it's like, okay,
yeah, yeah, the 41-yard catch,
MVS game.
Didn't have another catch for the rest of the game.
Yeah,
so
it's just it's nowhere near the worry zone, especially with how well this defense is playing. Devontae will get going. MVS will get going. Cobb is still Cobb. Like, we'll be just fine. And I wouldn't want – well, of course I would love if the offense was, you know, lighting up the scoreboard right now. But, you know, as cliche as it is, I mean, we don't really want them playing their best football right now. This is preseason.
Yep. There you go, Kyle. Yeah, you're not wrong. It's – we're waiting for that burst. And maybe it'll happen like what happened with the Chiefs this past week too. But we'll see. Maybe not this week in Minnesota, but I'm sure here coming quick.
Yeah, there was something about 2019 that felt like – stiff and formulaic in like a weird way. Like, I don't know how else to say that, but like this year feels like it doesn't like it felt like those games too in 2019. It was like the first half we'd score and then we would do nothing.
Because it was always our scripted shit. The scripted shit, we were always good, and then after that it was subpar.
And so like it seems like this team at least adjusts to stuff in a different way. Like, I mean, defense obviously helps, but, like, even, I don't know, there's been, like, wrinkles with, like, Rodgers missing last week and Devontae missing the week before. And, like, there's been, like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like as, like, I don't know, you get worried when you hit, like, you saw, like, a drive stall.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't get that same, like, anxiety.
Yeah, I think, well, being in 2019, it was the first year of the offense. That's why it was always, like, easy to sort of justify, like, oh yeah, they'll figure it out and they'll get going. But yeah, now it's everyone is in tune with, like, Rodgers knows the offense like the back of his hand. I don't really know how to read the offense, and just hope Aaron Jones gets healthy and will be full strength when it matters.
I was gonna say, because LaFleur and everyone on the team always preaches this, doing your 111th, and it does seem like, you know, in 2019 maybe people didn't know what their 11th was, and now I think everyone knows what they're doing, but we just haven't, you know, performed as well. I won't get worried until after the offensive line is back to full strength, if we're still struggling then, because that's something that should keep everyone on Holy track shit. A little bit better than what we could make excuses for at least the last couple of weeks, even though it's not like Rodgers was overly pressured this game anyway.
I really wonder, because, I mean, we're fucking 8-2 without David Bakhtiari. Like, and I wonder if LaFleur has been asked this before, or if it does, like, if Bakhtiari sort of changes the playbook at all. Like, if they can, you know, do certain stuff in certain situations or anything like that.
Well, they're so used to it now, because we've talked about it a bunch, because early on, you know, when Elton first got moved out to left tackle, or when we had Yosh out there, you know, we had Tonyan and Big Dog out on the end. So that kind of game plan, we did that to kind of slow him down. And now we've gone away from that. So it is, like you said earlier, too, where every week we are kind of finding new wrinkles. So I think there is some changes, but we won't know exactly until he comes back. And God, I hope it's this week. If not, it must be. I mean, he obviously got activated, so I was a little surprised when he didn't play. I feel like that would be a lot easier to have him start his first game back at Lambeau. And now I wonder if he's going to play this week, just because I don't know if you want to bring your star left tackle against the Minnesota Vikings, who lead the league in sacks, and they're playing at
Hunter, though.
True,
US Bank,
but at US Bank, like, that's kind of a tough environment to play in, but whatever, we'll see. Moving on to the running backs, Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. Aaron Jones did finish the game. He didn't finish the game. 7 carries, 25 yards at 3.6 yards per carry. He also had 4 receptions for 61 yards. AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones were the second and third leading scorers. AJ Dillon finished with 21 carries, 66 yards, a 3.1 average, but the 2 touchdowns. He also had the 2 receptions, 62 yards, obviously the big 50-yarder.
But yeah, Jones was gashing them with the screens. That was awesome to see. I think there were two of the big ones were, like, really close to each other, too.
And so he had one drop, too, where if he would have caught that, that would have been another first down. But, yeah, they had back-to-back screen plays where he picked up first downs, and it's like, fuck, we should just keep doing the stuff that works. He obviously did get hurt. There was the sideline reporter that said he left the tent, you know, crying. So everyone was like,
instantly it's like, oh, well, there it is.
Was that sideline reporter Zadarius Smith?
No. No, it was not. Tracy, whatever. Doesn't matter. Wilson. But a lot of weird things with that. One, the crying, which is fine. I, you know, a lot of people were like, oh my God, you know, he thought he was out for the year. They told me he had a torn ACL. Mm-hmm. I think they must have just torn him. It was an MCL sprain, and he just loves playing football too much. He was like, oh my God, I'm going to miss
one or two weeks. Even more, yeah.
The other thing, which I don't understand, you know, technology, we've grown so much where shit's too quick. Ian Rappaport tweeting like the quarter after that it's an MCL sprain. It's like, who in the hell is who on the Packers is on the sideline? They're direct, like, wait a minute, I need to tell Ian that everything's okay, at least. It's very, very strange. But yeah, we'll see. Hopefully should be back. We have this week against Minnesota. We play someone after that.
Rams.
And then it's the bye week. So won't even have to throw him on IR, it looks like. But A.J. Dillon, the talk of this game, at least for offense, obviously had the long screen, probably the best play of his career.
Yes.
Seventh highest rated running back, according to Pro Football Focus. I'll say this. I do still hate running it out of the shotgun. We do it so much in the short yardage situations, but Bill Huber did point this out, how he doesn't think Rodgers, he couldn't remember off the top of his head, and I didn't actually go back and look, but Rodgers really didn't take anything under center, which is probably because of that toe injury that popped up. So that's something to monitor going forward. Today on Pat McAfee, Rodgers also didn't really give a straight answer and didn't want to answer about the toe. So I think this might be a bigger... He had the couple runs, but I think this might be a bigger issue than we think.
Go ahead.
Do we see any linkage between the toe injury and Shailene Woodley's post about his feet?
Oh, that's the thing. Maybe
had not explored that yet.
Yeah, because he, for those who don't know, Shailene Woodley last week went on a whole rant about how some, it wasn't TMZ, but it was like people posted some picture of some,
like Aaron Rodgers in California?
Some dude in California walking around with a mask on that they thought was Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't him.
And then she just absolutely roasts the guy. He's like, look at these tiny feet,
non-hairy
hands, piece of shit car, having ass. And he's like, my husband would never. And like, just puts him on flat. Fiance, sorry. And it was just, yeah, very...
Maybe Rodgers thought he was that guy, so he just put on smaller shoes. Is that a good enough joke?
Why is he so secretive about like the toe injury? I don't understand.
It's a bigger issue than he wants to let on. If he was like, oh, yeah, I stubbed my toe on the couch, you'd be like, oh, okay, whatever.
But maybe it is like turf toe, because I know turf toe can be a real bitch.
Right, but I don't know. We'll see if he pops up on the injury report going forward with
it. You know how I knew that picture wasn't him?
How?
The mask.
Why? Because he was wearing one? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I thought we were going to stay away from political topics, but
I'm kidding.
It's not a. Yeah. Last thing. It's been kind of a weird season, up and down. We've probably talked about them too much, but you got to pick one. Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon, rest of the season. Who you pick?
A.J. Dillon.
Shut up.
Okay, Kyle.
I'm not answering that.
Indifferent. All right, I'll go A.J. Dillon. That's a good talking point there.
Dumb.
All right, moving forward to the.
They're better together, but like if they were to break up, like.
Yeah.
Like, and I have to, you know, like only talk to one because the other one's going to get mad at me, you know?
You'll pick A.J.
Dillon. Yeah, I'm picking A.J. Dillon.
Okay, very fair point. You backed up your take very well there. Moving on to the receivers, Davante Adams, leading receiver for the game, 7 receptions, 78 yards. Nothing too crazy for him. Once again, this is just kind of the floor for what he does, and I can't remember any real exceptional plays.
Well, that one over the middle to get us inside the 20 was nice.
Yeah, Rodgers almost killed him with one of those early throws out in like the flat, too. That was a little scary.
That was like, to me, the most uncharacteristic throw.
I think, maybe that's the you know, getting thrown back into the fire on Saturday was maybe a bigger deal than we were anticipating, because he didn't practice all week, and then some of his first few throws, it's like, whoa, like he usually doesn't, you know, put receivers at risk like that. So I don't know.
I was talking to Spencer earlier, and I was like talking about like how Jordan Love didn't have a ton of time the week before, and so if I'm willing to give Jordan Love that benefit of the doubt, I definitely need to give our sweet prince.
Yes.
Jordan
sweet
Love.
Prince is right.
Jordan Love didn't look about. Aaron Rodgers looked lost on Sunday.
Okay.
Moving on, MVS, the one reception, 41 yards, nothing else to really talk about. Alan Lazard, kind of a weird game for him. Maybe the worst game. He He had the three drops. I don't know if you want to call them drops. They were kind of contested too. He had the deep one from Rodgers where he missed him.
I mean,
there was the fourth down where he got hit right away.
That throw.
Yes.
Oh my God. Over the middle. Like,
sometimes you just give the receiver an excuse because you assume they don't expect it to actually get through.
Still an extraordinarily tough catch to make, but just an unbelievable ball placement and a catchable ball, but
yeah,
very, very tough.
I don't know why I want to keep pitting players against each other today and like being rude to players. Like,
Kyle loves it.
And also with Zadarius. But I think MVS would have caught that ball because MVS, MVS catches balls where he's covered like pretty closely and also and down the middle of the field.
And then the ones where he's wide open, it's like bloop.
It's weird because I like can't even imagine MVS being in that circumstance this Colts. Year. It's just he's just never that close.
Exactly.
Right. But he's just never that close to multiple defenders like that. You don't have to squeeze it in for him.
Yeah, but then the other drop, the fourth down drop, was tough. I thought
he got smacked.
It looked like
Lazard here.
It looked like he did the turning up field before actually catching it thing.
Maybe it was just so bang,
and maybe
bang.
He felt that he was not past the first down marker because it was fourth and three, I think. But I really like that was very uncharacteristic to drop that in that because you know. We've joked like Lazard is the third down man, and you know I guess that applies to fourth down as well. And it was weird to see him.
There you go.
In.
That's what it is, Kyle. He got all of the drops out for third down in this game, so we'll be good going forward. He did have the one positive play that some of us might have forgot about, that block that he had where Seahawks fans, I'm sure, were looking for a flag that wasn't a block in the back where he just kind of scooted in front and got in front of that Seahawks defender and absolutely destroyed him. Probably a little unnecessary, but it, you know. If he can keep doing that just to piss other people off, so you know teams have to kind of game plan for that, I'm all for it. Yes. So I did enjoy that. One other thing with the receivers, maybe offense in general, this one formation that they had that I liked a lot. On the left in a bunch, they had MVS, Aaron Jones, and Big Dog. And then spread out to the right, they had Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams. I just love that because think of the possibilities. You have like your own little mini like offense to the left with Big Dog blocking MVS, the speedster, and Aaron Jones. It's like you really do have a little bit of everything just on that side of the field.
And then
where
just security blankets on the right side like that.
Yeah, so I hope to see more that's of that going forward because that's almost like that fake shit too where you could do a little screen to Aaron Jones or you could just fake that shit, have MVS just fucking sprint.
Yep.
I don't know shit about X's and O's, but to me that sounds like a really good play.
Checks out.
You should hit up Matt.
I just checked.
All right, perfect. That's what you're here for. Moving on to tight end, not too much to talk about. Obviously, Big Dog played. He had 2 receptions, 10 yards. That's what he does. Josiah DeGuara had 2 receptions for 9 yards, whatever. We talked about a little bit beforehand, you know, me saying that Rodgers threw that pick in his direction. Josiah DeGuara is 100% now the whipping boy for Aaron Rodgers. If someone's getting yelled at, it is Josiah DeGuara. Not as much of one this week as he did get yelled at a little bit, but we'll have to see going forward. But once he gets that first touchdown and Rodgers goes up and like nods to him, you know it's not going to be overly celebratory. Hank,
celebratory.
What's the word? No, what? Overly
celibate? Overly celibate?
Yeah, not going to be that. It's going to be very stern, like you finally did something for me. That's going to be the one-on-one interaction between DeGuara and Rodgers.
Him yelling at Josiah is kind of turning into a meme, it seems like. But I'm just thinking back to the Lucas Patrick, the emotional bank account?
Yes.
Where, you know, we don't know we don't know all the deposits made into that account. So, you know, the withdrawals of Rodgers, you know, he's making on Josiah, he could be sitting on a lot of cash that, you know, he's emotionally already deposited behind the scenes.
I was going to bring that up too, but I was just going to say that like maybe it's more just like him shaking him upside down for his lunch money.
Like all these overdraft fees. Yeah.
Be in the right spot.
I don't know. Like it's okay because Josiah DeGuara looks enough like Tim Tebow where I'm like, I don't know.
He's
like,
got a very thick beard.
Yeah, he kind of has like a
frame.
Tim Tebow look.
All throughout. It's quite a sight.
Very good looking guy. He does have kind of a big nose, though. Moving on to the offensive line.
Looks like he would volunteer at a Christian youth camp in the summer.
That's
he'd be the cool. Perfect. He'd be the cool advisor at the church the church
that,
summer
like,
camp.
Kind of like only talks to the senior girls.
Okay, moving on to the offensive line. Royce Newman, we've given him a lot of shit the last couple weeks. He did end up being the second highest graded player on offense, according to Pro Football Focus, whatever that's good for. Billy Turner was right after him.
Do we respect or hate them this week?
This is a good week. Remember, we knew this was going to happen, too. Right. Last week, bad. They gave Jordan Love a 30. This
PFF
week, they're,
sucks.
They're good because they're saying our not as good players played well, so we can hang our hat on that for
PFF
a couple weeks
good
at least.
This week, got it.
Yep. So, yeah, not too much else to talk about. Rodgers was only sacked the once or twice. Ooh, I don't remember.
It felt like twice.
Okay, there we go. We're going to go with twice. Thank you.
Thanks, Hank.
Thank you blindly agreeing with me, fact checker. The only other note I'd say is Dunlap for Seattle throwing that shoe. That was almost a pick six play because that put us in field goal range.
Like, what a boneheaded. Yeah. I mean, it's Dunlap, too. Like, he's not in his fourth year.
And
like,
he's right in the middle.
He's been in the league.
It's right in the middle of the play.
Yeah.
You're right in the middle of the hashes there. So I don't know what he was thinking. And you could probably get away with it, too, if you throw it maybe like 10 yards. But he threw it like 25 yards.
Accidentally kick it or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The Atari Bigby.
He was very intentional about, you know, he was very like pronounced about it. Like it was, yeah, very, very bizarre and weird, weird decision, lapse in judgment.
Yes. Moving on to the defense. What do you got, Hank? Do we even want to?
I'm just wondering, do you think he like tied the laces really like a bunch of double knots?
Pulled them out, yeah.
And then he just tossed them.
Fuck up the laces by whipping it around.
Yeah. Like whoever's shoes it was on the sideline for like just the whole second quarter untying it.
You get multiple
trainers just like all got their hands in.
Call a timeout. Okay, whatever. Way too long there. Moving on to the defense. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. The defense is really good. Here's a couple stats.
They're so good. Oh,
they're third in the league in points, fifth in passing yards, 14th in rushing yards, sixth in turnovers. They obviously shut the Seahawks down in this game, the first time Russell Wilson has ever gone scoreless in a game. In the same game, they forced 32 pressures, which is pretty crazy. We thought 28 was a lot last week against Jordan Love. Top performers on the defense, according to Pro Football Focus, Amos, King, Gary Stokes, Preston. Once again, those are the names you want to hear. You don't want to hear the lesser guys who aren't contributing as much. So it's nice to see our top end players performing. Let's start with inside linebacker, which we've been doing a lot this year. I don't have anything specific with Oren Burks, Devondre Campbell or Chris Barnes, but Devondre Campbell is still like one of the best tackling linebackers in the league. The Packers are the best tackling defense in the league right now. I had this little thought this week. So one excuse that I've put in my head, and a lot of other people have talked about for the Packers' lack of tackling in recent years, pretty much over the last decade, is we usually are pretty light on defense. We don't live tackle. A lot of teams do that. We do not. I honestly think the reason why we've gotten so much better at tackling is having Devondre Campbell in the middle. And he's, you know, he leads the leads the team in tackles right now. I think everyone else is just watching him tackle and they're getting better from watching him tackle so much. Honestly, it's just like, oh shit, that's how you do it. You can actually just go without a care for your own body and actually force players to move back when you tackle
them to the ground.
Holy. And now everyone else is doing that and swarming. So that's my little theory on this.
It really is. It's like, they've been so bad at tackling for so long. And I don't think that's that ridiculous at all. Like, it's not a coincidence that, yeah, that dude shows up. He's as good as he is. And now everyone else can fucking tackle. Like, it's crazy. And, yeah, he's a culture changer.
Yes. I don't want to think about the future, but, God, I do. It'll be interesting to see what happens, how he gets paid. Or, shit, you know, I hope he makes a Pro Bowl this year, too. I'm not sure how many.
Pro Bowl? I don't give a shit about a Pro Bowl. He's on all pro pace.
Sure, but I'm just, you know, that's.
He's on, before the Arizona game, I meant to start the depoy campaign.
Yeah, right. But I'm not saying that because of a lack of play. I'm saying a lack of a name currently. David Bakhtiari went forever. So I'm just curious how that's going to play out. Maybe that'll be some stupid fuel that they can use going forward after he gets
billboard.
Snubbed.
Or bulletin board, sorry.
Yeah, bulletin board. A really big bulletin board. Outside linebacker, Gary still continuing on being one of the best players on the team.
In the league, honestly.
Huge sack on third down. He had four pressures himself, one of the best edge rushers in the league right now. He still runs weird. I don't know what it is. It's almost like his chest has to be like a yard further ahead than his legs for whatever reason. But I can't complain. He's awesome. He obviously
sounds like
we'll get
avoided some major disasters.
Yeah, let's talk about the injuries. Whitney Mercilus, he had his first sack as a Packer, tore his bicep. Really, really sucks. I was looking forward to if or when Za'Darius finally gets back, having Za'Darius, Preston, Gary, and Mercilus. That has to be the best rotation of pass rushers we've ever...
Seriously.
That I can remember, you know, at least in the last fucking 15 years.
Right.
That's not going to happen, whatever. But yes, Gary, he had the shoulder, elbow, whatever injury where it kind of got pinned there. He was rolling around in pain.
It looked bad because, yeah, he was like... It was very noticeable. Like, it was rolling around.
Yeah.
You could see him screaming. Like, yeah, it was... Very scary there for a second.
Yeah, I'm very happy that he's losing both of those guys in one game would have been a terrible, terrible blow. But it sounds like he might even be pushing to play this week.
Even just like getting that, you know, news bite is so reassuring.
Well,
realistically, he's probably not going to play.
Yes.
But like to hear him be like, oh, just give me a brace and I'll be like, that's, you know, because then that's like, all right, well, he'll be back at some point this year.
I'd give him another week just to get his shit together.
And we'll need him against the Rams.
And we've been unlucky with injuries the last 2 weeks, but also kind of lucky too. Kenny Clark, we didn't think he'd be playing in this game. Eric Stokes, we didn't think he'd be playing in this game after neither of them finishing the game last week. Like,
I'm pretty sure last week I just wrote off Kenny Clark. Yeah. Yep, that's probably a 2-3 week absent minimum. But yeah, that was awesome to see him, and he played well too.
So with that going on with Mercilus, Packers today on Tuesday, they did place Mercilus on the IR and brought up one, our boy who got cut on Saturday, who follows the account on Twitter, Ladarius Hamilton. He was signed to the practice squad, but more importantly, Tipa Galeo was moved from the practice squad to the active roster.
Did you nail that pronunciation?
I think I did. I wish you didn't bring it up because now I don't want to
really
say
smooth.
It again.
No, I mean, you said it so confidently and seamlessly. Yeah.
He was the undrafted guy out of Utah State, you know, where Jordan Love went last year, 2020. He's been talked up quite a bit. He's 6'5 and a fast prospect.
Talked up quite a bit.
He's a name in training camp. Justice, who a lot of people respect. We respect him. One of the guys on Twitter, he's talked him up quite a bit. So it's kind of weird how they cut Ladarius on Saturday, now moved him to the practice squad and moved Tipa up. It's kind of like, why don't you just move Tipa up before if that's what you were going to do? But we'll see what he does. He's also the emergency long snapper, so hopefully we don't have
to see
him do that. Yep.
Huh.
He's the guy who was trying to pronounce the
couple weeks ago. Right.
Thank you, Hank.
Thank you, Hank. But yeah, moving on to corner. We talked about these guys a bit already. Kevin King had the pick. He only had 4 targets.
Kevin.
Only allowed 2 catches for 10 yards. Eric Stokes only targeted 4 times. No completions allowed. And Rasul Douglas had he had a couple big plays back-to-back. Tackle in the backfield, then a pass breakup on third down. I don't know what kind of universe we've stumbled into where Joe Barry, a guy no one knew of, came in and has turned this defense around. We have these guys in the secondary who we haven't, you know, especially someone like Douglas, who seemed like a nothing move, and he's one of the larger contributors on defense so far. So
yeah, it seems admitting when you're wrong is kind of a lost art these days. You just need to have hot takes, and when those hot takes turn cold, you just produce more hot takes. But it's very refreshing to see a lot of Packers Twitter, apologize about being so, I mean, myself included, I was very wrong about Joe Barry, and it's good to see others admitting the same.
Yeah,
living with uncle and aunt, like I've gotten, I think, pretty good at admitting when I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Not that uncle ever does.
Right. Yeah. That's why it's uncle.
I did, and not like I can toot it too much, but I didn't mind the hiring once again, just because it's more
after
of a system
week one,
thing.
After week one, I was like,
yes,
get this guy out of here. Like,
but I mean, how could you?
And I'm such an idiot. Ugh.
I don't think there was the whole thing on Twitter too, like, hey, sign this and apologize to Joe Barry. It's like, who the hell is going to vouch for him after a 38-3 loss?
Right.
Like, we can slow roll in a lot of different directions here.
I don't feel like an idiot because, like, you know, like...
great opener.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, because, like, I was feeling what I was feeling then, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was... You,
right.
Like, you gotta, well, yeah. You, we it, had... It, like, we took the evidence we had.
In that moment,
I mean?
We were right.
And
he coordinated a bad defense.
And, yes, and to be fair to us, the last game prior to that 38-3 drubbing was... well, the NFC Championship. So, yeah, it was just, you know, the scar tissue was still, you know, very much pussy and and open.
Yeah, sometimes we all got to let our inner Skip Bayless out.
There you go.
True. Moving on to safety, Savage and Amos are just
honestly
awesome.
Are they the best people safety duo in the league?
Like, people are asking. They've been pretty damn good. Amos obviously had the pick. I mean, God, he almost had a fumble recovery, almost had another pick. He's
like,
just,
I just feel like
so
they're so complimentary of each other. Like Amos is like, you know, very, you know, coach on the field, leader, like always in the right spot, not going to blow you away with athleticism or speed, but he's just always there making plays. And then Savage is just kind of a rocket. Like he's flying around everywhere, can just light you up despite his size. And like, I just think they play off of each other so well. And yeah, I really think that's, for my money, the best duo in the league.
And he had a great play on one of Wilson's deep balls where he tracked it and got his head around and played just enough good defense to let it fall incomplete, which sometimes, especially with the younger guys, God, he's not even that young anymore.
And that's,
they struggle with that.
And that's still one of his things you worry about with Savage is the ball skills and when the ball's in the air. So yeah, to see him make that play was super encouraging as well.
Yeah, and those two guys played 100 snaps in coverage, allowed 3 catches on 8 targets for 22 yards. They obviously had the INT and 3 pass breakups for a combined pass rating of 35.8. Pretty damn
good.
Yeah,
they were daring the Seahawks to throw the ball, and the Seahawks threw the ball. And
very true.
It did not work out, which is super weird because for a team, like their whole philosophy is they want to pound the ball and they want to run it. So
they're weird because it's like they want to run it, but they're also one of the better deep bomb teams in the league. Like Russ, last year at least, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett were, DK was number 1 and Lockett was number 4 for deep pass catchers in the entire league. So it's a weird type of offense that they've had going there, I guess.
Yeah, I just want to, like, one thing Amos, like, never gets talked about enough is that he's a really good Twitter follower.
Yes.
Right? Like
he's very steady.
Like, he's a really good Twitter.
Just like on the field, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Like, steady. Like, he's always pretty cool, you know. And I don't know. I feel like over the last 3 years on the team, like, he's always been kind of, he's been, like, my favorite Packer follow.
Mm.
Yeah. God, yeah, it's a really good. Him and David Bakhtiari. I do like David Bakhtiari, but he doesn't tweet as much.
Going back to the deep balls, I'm really surprised that Russ didn't connect on any with the whole 19-hour rehab process.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He's such a dweeb.
Honestly. Hey,
did he look rusty?
You know, I mean, Romo or Nance never really mentioned that, so I couldn't really tell. Plus, they scored 0 points, so,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to say.
Who's to say? Yeah, it was just the refs, according to Pete Carroll. Moving on, the defensive line, Kenny Clark.
Which is just, sorry, it's just so rich. From the victor of the Fail Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, you just can say, get out of town.
You can say whatever the hell you want when you're chewing gum.
It's true.
It's true. And God,
he chews gum like such an asshole too.
The Fail Mary thing.
Like,
I don't want to
get
bring
it. You have a piece of gum in your mouth.
Hey, I did like back when the internet was a simpler place. Like, there was a GIF on Twitter of him chomping his gum with like the monocle and a top hat. I really like that. That's like nothing now. I'll have to find it and show you.
Is he the most like East Coast, West Coast person ever?
He's such
What does that mean?
Like what? Young, old?
East Coast, West Coast, because that's like two very different things.
I know. Yeah,
but he's the oldest coach in the league, but you wouldn't guess it just with the way
he just has such an East Coast kind of personality. But like, he's on the West Coast.
Okay, I guess he's got West.
Yeah, East Coast, West Coast.
Well,
he's got West Coast
hair.
He came
from USC, so it's like he's been on the West Coast for a long time. I don't.
Yeah, but like, I could see him being in like some small New England town and telling you to, like, you know, not ride your bike in his neighborhood.
I can't imagine him like anywhere without wearing like a Seahawks hoodie. So I just, that seems out of place on the East Coast for me. Like at some fucking.
All right, that's enough
store.
Pete Carroll talk.
Yeah, a lot of Pete Carroll talk. Defensive line, Kenny Clark still really good, especially after the back injury scare last week. Led the team with 8 pressures. Not much else we could say about him. Dean Lowry forced a hold, a phantom hold that pushed the Seahawks out of field goal range. He also had 3 pressures. T.J. Slayton. He's been showing up the past couple weeks. He had 3 pressures himself.
Big boy.
Yeah, big boy. Had a nice run stop and did a little dance after. and say it now. I mean, there was a little bit of talk of him during training camp. TJ Slayton is going to be a fan favorite. I think he's going to be a decent to good player at least, and he seems to have a personality to him. We're going to like the way he dances. We're going to like the way he moves, and we're going to eventually sour on that. At least I will, because Andy Herman is going to ruin it with some stupid joke on Twitter.
That's actually pretty good foresight.
Special teams, Mason Crosby, we talked about him. Bojo was pretty good. Mari Rodgers, bit of a bounce back game. I'm still...
Bounce back?
Well, he
I mean,
muffed.
Actually, he did have...
What do you mean,
he did have? Back? Yeah, sorry. He did have a couple good returns, or maybe just one
more yards than the Packers had in 2019.
Yeah, literally. So, I don't know. Another week of bracing ourselves for that. But, I don't know. Not too much else to talk about. God, we already went like an hour into the pod just about talking about the game. I guess one other note I would say is the... just to show you how good the defense did, DK Metcalf obviously got ejected, tried to come back into the game. In that one series of penalties, he got in the face of Henry Black, Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, and Eric Stokes. He grabbed three different face masks. He had the face paint for it, too, so he was just playing the part.
This is why no one likes the Seahawks or Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson, because when they got sacked with like 10 seconds left and then take a timeout, like, you're such asshole.
Yeah.
Like, just go home. Oh, that's why no one likes the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Is it surprising that the boy who dyes his hair green is angry?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. What did he say after? Oh, he said he did it because he's sick of losing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing. Like, sure. And if I were a Seahawks fan, I'd be like, okay. But it's one of those things. It's like any
three
athlete.
Face masks? You had to grab three face masks? That's just so cheap.
You could go out there and, like, I don't know, fucking punch someone in the head, and you come back and have a presser, and you could just say, oh, I'm just sick of losing. And you'd be like, yeah, okay. Like, people are going to nod and agree.
And then the whole just the logic of DK getting unsportsmanlike and ejected, and then Savage getting one for
taunting,
for backing up his teammate, and then them offsetting, like, one guy gets ejected and the other is just backing up his teammates, and that offsets. Like, where's the equality there? That's just so dumb.
That's equity. Yeah, because one team's playing way worse.
Perfect. Okay.
Starting on second base.
And with that, take news.
Ooh. Football time. Take news.
All right. Take news for the week. We're just going to talk about it. I'm sure some people might be sick of already hearing about it, but we're going to talk about it now anyways. We have, you know, three different views on this, I'm sure.
I actually don't even know where this is going.
The stock sale, which started today. So for those who somehow might not know, the Packers are selling stock once again. $300 a stock. This is their first time doing it since 2011. That's back when I bought my stock. Everyone says so. As you probably know, the stock is obviously worthless. It doesn't really bring you anything. You get for the board of you get the board of directors. You can go to the stock meeting every year, the owners meeting during training camp. That's about it. But yeah, $300 piece of paper. It does not appreciate in value, but I will say this. When I bought my stock in 2011, it was $250. Today, it was obviously $300. So in my book, I made $50 right there. Yeah. Didn't have to buy a stock today. But
20% return.
Yeah. But that's overall, what do you guys feel about the stock? Kyle, did you buy stock? Hank, did you guys think about buying stock? What are your views on the stock?
No. But I don't like... I don't even know. I don't even like that we're doing this, because every take has been took on this issue. Like,
are you sure
that the stock isn't, you know, you can't trade it on the New York Stock Exchange. You know, we got it. Yeah, it's a piece of memorabilia. That is a sentimental thing that, you know, you're, you know, part owner of the Packers. And are you really a part owner of the Packers? No. And we get that too. You know, let people live and enjoy things.
It sucks because, you know, national media and fans of the 31 other teams, for the most part, it's kind of a straw man argument where it's like, well, why are you wasting $300? You're not a real owner. It's like, no one who buys the stock, I hope, thinks that they're like an actual owner. It's just a funny, stupid thing. And then you can say we instead of them when you're talking about the team too. But my book, well, Hank, what's your take on this?
I wanted to, but I spent my allowance on Pokemon cards this weekend, and so I couldn't. I just
didn't have the patience.
Yeah, but it would have been a great stocking stuffer.
Ooh, that's a pun.
Did you get that pun there?
Because of the stock and the, yep.
Yeah. My take on the stock, I'm obviously a stock owner. It's dumb, but I love it either way. The thing for me is I just don't get it this time around because, you know, the last time they did it, it was for, like the purpose? The new scoreboard and the added seats in the north end zone, I believe. Before that, it was like a full total do-over where we got rid of the corrugated metal and put up the new brick facade and everything. And this time, it's like just a blank scoreboard, video board improvements, and other like seating improvements. It's very vague for trying to raise what would be $90 million. And Kyle, we've talked about this before. The last time we went to a game together, I believe the Oakland game, you know, I bitched a lot about how it's turning into Disneyland, Disney World around Lambeau Field. And I'm just like, I'm all for donating money, literally burning $300 so that my favorite football team can stay in Green Bay. But at this point, it's like, and it's been mentioned today, we have close to $600 million banked for the franchise right now. It's like, do we really need another $90 million?
Right, yeah. No, I completely agree with you of, like, just kind of curious about, like, yeah, the purpose of the fundraising.
I don't know what we can add. Yeah. What would you do with $100 million
for Lambeau Field? I asked you, like, I mean, isn't kind of the whole Titletown district, like, pretty much built out?
Right.
Like, I mean, what else? I mean, there's not even like actual land to even do more stuff. So,
and that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about them buying actual like residential areas in the immediate area and turning that into stuff, because I would hate for it to turn into some plastic, generic, just kind of, like I keep saying, Disneyland type of thing. The thing we love about it is, you know, I feel like you can go into a dive bar, walk outside, and all of a sudden you're at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, exactly.
We're starting to lose that a little bit.
Lose that charm a little bit.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I don't really know what that could be for, but if the sale helps, you know,
right,
keep the team in Green Bay, then I'm all for it. But yeah, kind of curious what the funds are actually for. Yeah,
some kickbacks, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think
COVID protocol fines.
You know, like, to me, it's like more of a conversation of just like collectibles, right? Like, it's the same reason people spend like $300-$400 on a sports card,
dude. Humans love collecting shit.
Yeah. And like, to like be able to, like, you have a limited release of something, right, that's like very unique.
Yeah, only 30,000 or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's still like short printed in a sense, right?
Yeah,
like, that's 30,000, and then I mean,
well, God, that
and like years and years and years from now, you know, like there's gonna be like less of those.
Exactly,
like some of those pieces
scarcity,
of paper,
baby.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, it's like I totally understand why people would want to. Like, I wanted to, but like, I just funneled to other collectibles this time around.
God,
I don't treat it like a stock. I treat it more like a collectible.
Then that's exactly what it is. Right. And I'm, like I said, I'm not indulging. I'm a season ticket holder. I think that is support enough financially for the franchise.
Especially when they raise ticket prices every single year, aside from this year after COVID.
You're like a goddamn king.
But
you're looking down at the owners.
Well,
and you're,
I mean,
like,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, don't,
I look,
hey,
down.
Your words,
I look down.
Your words, not mine. Okay?
I mean, they are my words.
Yeah,
but they're also what I think and what I feel inside.
Well, I'm a fake owner.
I can
owner.
Neither confirm nor deny.
I'm a fake owner, but you're a fake ticket holder because you just have the gold package.
Well,
you don't have the full thing.
Well, I'm a fake fan.
Hey, you can't be saying that shit on this podcast. We'll
Sorry.
Bleep that shit.
Sorry, I didn't know where else to go from there.
You get one. You get one. You don't
fake,
get to say that
fake
shit again.
Ticket, fake owner.
Oh, what I was going to say is, like, yeah, me personally, I'm not going to do the stock thing, but the people who are like loud mad about people who do.
Florio.
Yeah, it's just like, you are such a loser.
That's the thing. And I've gotten,
like,
in an argument.
You're way worse than the people you're criticizing, because, like, you care that much.
The worst argument? I used to work with a...
I mean, I guess in a roundabout way, I am... also them because I'm criticizing the criticizer. So
ooh.
I myself
am You're
a loser?
So much better than they are.
Thank you.
Don't ever.
I used to work with this Viking fan. No longer works at our company. He actually has a... this is so bad. I say that a lot on here. he made a Viking podcast, and it was one of the reasons why I made a Packer podcast, because I was like, ooh. This is bad. I was like, this is such a bad podcast. He's such a homer.
You can't admit inspiration.
But part of that is I got in an argument with him before because, you know, US Bank Stadium was built, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago now. One of
Killed
the
a bunch of birds.
Continues to kill a bunch of birds. One of the thing that they had, and a lot of different stadiums do this, I think Lambeau does as well, where you could buy a brick to put out front and you can put your name on it or a last loved one. Hmm. Well, he did that. So he spent like $300, $400 doing that. And I was like, well, you did this. Like, do you not see that the stock is a very similar thing? He's like, well, no, because I can go and point to this and show people and say, you know, this is in memory of whoever. And I'm like,
so can I?
I'm like, well, I have this, like, I understand carrying a stock around isn't the same thing, but it's like, we're still talking about two fucking stupid things.
Yeah.
Like they're both stupid.
Well, it's memorabilia. Like, that's it.
It's special to you and no one else. And that's all that matters. So why complain about other people?
But like, seriously, it's that simple.
But like, let's just say this. Like, if you have that piece of paper in like UV protected glass.
Okay.
Right?
Mine has gotten wrinkly, too, over the years. So
well, just for my argument, you protected that thing, right? Yes. Like, that was it. I'm just going to say that's probably going to last longer than, like, a weather, like, a weathered brick,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
especially when the Vikes move in, like, a decade. Right. Like, it's going to be worthless.
Yeah. When they turn into the, like, North Stars again or something, I'm sure that's what will happen. They'll have to tear
Such
it all down.
Pathetic franchise.
Or whatever franchise they start, they've killed too many birds and they have to just shut everything down.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see, like, which, like, Eastern European or, like, UK team they model themselves Ooh. After next.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, honestly. All right.
That's so true.
All right, are we all stocked out? I think that was stock talk.
Yeah.
Stock talk.
Stonks.
All right. Well, with that, Kyle, are you ready? Is Kyle an idiot?
Ooh. I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right. Is Kyle an idiot for the week? Kyle, you are a clean 16, 11, and 1.
Ooh,
I believe those numbers are right. We'll keep rolling with it. You are not an idiot. You could fall apart, but probably not because I have to keep asking easy questions because I am running out of questions. Please, once again, email me if you have a question you want on the podcast.
Spence, you can take a week off. It's okay.
No, because I saw the one Reddit comment before, and it is in my... We've talked about this. Yes, but you email pmppodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter, pmppod. If you've got a trivia question that you want to stump Kyle with, hey, let's see. It'll probably happen.
It's very hard to do, so good luck.
All right. With that, Kyle, your first question. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is the first shutout the Packers have had since 2018 against... The Bills.
Damn it. I was going to say the Buffalo Bills.
Of course you knew that. Everyone's been talking about that. I had to throw that in there. Who was the Bills quarterback in that game?
Matt Barkley.
It worked. Josh Allen. It was Josh Allen. He threw two picks in that game. They did not score. I looked it up today because I was like, God, who was the quarterback in that game?
Damn,
I was
it
like,
was Josh Allen.
I was like, damn, it was Josh Allen. And hey, I got you too. So there you go. 0-for-1. What were you saying to you can't be stumped? Oh, you were just stumped.
Fun fact, too.
Why,
you
did,
know
I,
what
why
team?
Did I say Matt Barkley?
I don't know.
He played there for a little bit.
All right.
Well, it's like they had a wasteland of quarterbacks before Josh Allen. I always think of like J.P. Lossman, but he was like in mid-2000s.
So like two games before that, who did Josh Allen scorch?
Two games before that.
Oh, it might have even been. Yeah, it was that same season. That was the...
like absolutely dominated and made look silly.
He oh that's it has what a it was. It wasn't a juke. I remember now. He hurdled Anthony Barr. That's what it was.
Oh
remember
yeah,
that?
And they were like, I literally think they were like 16-point underdogs.
Yes, that's right.
At
it was,
US
it was
Bank,
the biggest,
and they won outright.
Yeah, it was like the biggest.
Oh, that was amazing. That's
line,
right.
An outright loss. Of a point spread in like 20 years
oh,
when that
wow.
came happening. Yeah, that's right.
Wow,
okay.
Good pull, Hank. That yeah. Oh, that's a good memory.
Hey, pulling for you, always.
Thank you.
Good pull, Hank. Terrible guess, Kyle. All right, moving forward. Number two. What former Packer is currently on the Minnesota Vikings?
Is it just one?
Yep.
Jesus.
Oh, have you watched many Viking games this year? This guy, I turn on the TV and his name always pops up.
Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl champion.
Forget that. That's only going to throw you off.
That's probably a recent, because obviously not the 2010. Former Packer on the Minnesota Vikings. Man.
He does play. He does start.
He does play. He does start. He does play. And he also
We're getting into starts. Countdown territory here, Kyle. 10.
It's obviously someone on the defense then.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the last clue you're getting? 5.
No, shut up.
Former
Packer. This hurts, and I'm going to be so fucking pissed off when you tell me the answer.
5, 4.
I don't even have, like, 3, there's, like, my, I'm empty 4, right now. No.
I'm going to
lead
you through this, okay? Without giving you, without telling you.
Depending on the severity of this.
So
group.
Think, just let's go through the defense, right? Like, Jesus let's go Christ. Through the position groups. Because
it's, I'm thinking it's one of those interior D, the lineman that was. No, it's not. He's probably out of the league.
He started for the Packers, and he's starting for the Vikings.
I don't even have
He was a free agent this summer.
It is Bashaud Breeland.
Oh, my God.
And I like.
Oh, Vikings fans hate him, too.
I know.
Damn.
And I love him. I love him because he's a secret agent. He's so bad. He's been really bad for them this year, so.
Listeners, you were I was him and Han for like a minute.
He's a Super Bowl champion.
And people
though, right?
probably
yep, he did
instantly.
Win a Super Bowl with the Chiefs. Decent player, but he's playing really, really poorly this year. All right, Kyle, 0-2 so far. Last question. Ooh, I wonder if you'll get this. Kyle, when was the last time the Packers sold stock before the 2011 season?
It's either 94 or 97. I'm going to go 97 because it was off a Super Bowl win.
Very good, Kyle. Yes, yeah. You did get that one. Yeah, so I feel like when they sold stock in 2011, it was after the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure. But if not, if we were selling it around this time in 2011 too, you know.
Well,
it
was February 2011.
Okay, so then it was.
Didn't we lose the Super Bowl in 97?
But I think it was the same thing where we won in 96, but the Super Bowl was actually in 97.
That's how it works.
That's probably the worst thing about the NFL is you don't know what year to say.
Yeah, when you say 2010, it's actually February 2011.
Barely know what year it is now.
What?
Said I barely know what year it is now.
Yeah. I barely do too. But okay, Kyle. 1-2 for the week. Do you have a stump spending for me?
No.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Moving on. A preview of the Minnesota Vikings game. We'll roll right into it. It is Sunday afternoon, noon kickoff. Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olsen, and Pam Oliver. Low key, probably Fox's second best crew. I think Burkhardt is a really good play-by-play guy if you have a strong color commentator. And I think Greg Olsen's pretty good, and Kevin just kind of knows his role and goes along with it. So I'm kind of, I wouldn't say excited, but I like these guys a lot more than who do we have for the Bengals game? Vilma. Vilma's not very good.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think Jinkies. He was for the.
Okay. Vikings are getting 2.5 points. This is in Minnesota. The over-under is 49.5.
Are you trying to go to the game?
No, that's, once again, I feel like they do this on purpose. Like, the Vikings have some in with a schedule maker, because more often than not, the Vikings home Packer game is rifle opener in Wisconsin for whitetail deer. So
I will
be.
That's happened in literally probably 6 years.
No, you can look it up. It wasn't last year, but I think it was the year before.
Nope. If I was at that game.
Then it was 2 years ago. I'm telling you, it usually happens because I'd like to go to the games here. Anyways. I'll be hunting this
Plus
weekend.
Last year they opened in Minnesota.
Yes, obviously, but I don't know if you know
Two
this,
years
Kyle.
Before that, they clinched a division while I was there.
How many people went to Viking games last year, Kyle?
0.
Okay. All right. Overall, the Vikings are 4-5 coming off a win against the Chargers, 27-20. Kirk Cousins, it's still such a weird quarterback. Kyle, what do you think his touchdown to pick ratio is this year?
Touchdown to pick ratio. I would say like 1.7.
Okay, he has 18 touchdowns and 2 picks only, which was
pretty... Oh, wow, so that's 9.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was pretty staggering when I came across that. He's been sacked 12 times this year.
He's only thrown 2 picks, huh?
Yeah, he's played pretty well this year.
That's so Kirk Cousins. No, see? He Kirk claimed another victim.
You can never...
He claimed another victim.
I felt like that about Kirk, though, since he's, like, since he was on the football team.
It's just...
So you've been a Kirk victim
like,
for... Yeah.
I don't hate Kirk, you know? It's like... I just, you know, I like wouldn't let him watch my house when I was out of town.
Right.
You know, like I don't want the pressure on him, yeah, but like he's very serviceable.
He's just so weird because he's a very average quarterback.
I don't have a house though.
You guys remember like math class in third grade when you learn like the difference between average and mean, how mm-hmm. there's, you know, it's like the same number. It's like So he's a very average quarterback, but he doesn't really have average games. It's always like bad or really good,
yeah.
Which averages out to Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. But I would never want him to be my team's quarterback. But moving on, Cook, the running back, is obviously pretty good, but seems to be a pretty bad guy. 4.7 yards per carry. Justin Jefferson, what? Why isn't Florio talking more about? Anyways. Justin Jefferson, their leading receiver, 775 yards, 4 touchdowns. Adam Thielen, who, if you didn't know, was undrafted out of Mankato. No one's ever heard about that. 542 yards on the season, but 7 touchdowns. So they're pretty decent on offense overall. Defense, they lead the league in sacks. They're 10th in passing yards, but 28th in rushing yards. So, hey, getting A.J. Dillon going, this would be a perfect game for that. Keep that rolling.
Don't gotta tell me twice.
With that, I think this is a team we're probably more familiar with than any other, being Packer fans and growing up in Superior, Wisconsin, the Twin Ports, where we usually only get the Viking games if both are playing at the same time. So, Kyle, what do you feel going
into
this game?
If you're unfamiliar with this pod and what we're about, the Vikings are our you know, true rivals, just because of the proximity of which we grew up, and just having to exist around insufferable Vikings fans for as long as we have.
It's like 50-50, and we grew up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah. I am worried about this game just because, like I say every year, this matchup for the Minnesota Vikings is their Super Bowl. This is the most important game on their schedule. It is every year. So they always play us the hardest. And, the 2.5 is, you know, Vegas knows that these are always close games. Wish it was a full 3. But, I still think they're gonna kick the shit out of them. But you just never know with these punks.
Okay. Hank, what do you think going into this? I think especially with your job, you deal with Viking fans a lot, especially now in winter. You're seeing more Viking hats, Viking jackets. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that comes into play in this game?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so here's my thing. Is like, I've never been a huge Viking hater, if I'm being quite honest.
I'm
like,
actually really disappointed to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm sorry.
You said some disappointing things.
I know. It's not anything I don't hear at home. But... Yeah, I mean, like, and so, I don't know, like, there's a lot about the Vikings, like, they're very plastic, you know, they're
synthetic.
Yeah, exactly, and like, you kind of, like, I hate that, I hate how unoriginal they are, and just, like, that's the kind of stuff that I hate.
Yes.
But, like, for the most part, like, I don't hate the Vikings. Like, I really do. I do like hate the Bears and hate the Lions.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really weird. Now, when I said, you know, the Vikes are like our true, I kind of feel bad about saying that.
I disagree with that statement.
It's like their little brother.
The Bears are more our rival. Well, we hate the Vikings more.
Yes. Yeah. I definitely messed that up because I just love how much the Vikings hate us,
mm-hmm.
And I just love kicking the shit out of them because there's this, again, it's, this is their Super Bowl.
Yes. It's something that someone posted this on Twitter. I forgot who, with all this, you know, the talk of the stock sale today. you hear a lot of shit talking from Viking fans saying how stupid it is. You don't see it from Bears fans. Because there's almost like that kind of mutual respect there.
Yeah, rival almost implies that, yeah, there's some level of respect there where, right. Yeah, there's history. And yeah, there's like, I don't respect the Vikings franchise at all.
Yeah, Randy Moss mooned Lambeau Field. It's like, we will never look past that. Disgusting.
The first game I went there with it was the NFC North, you know, clincher with a Za'Darius Smith game, five sacks.
Yep.
That brought my disdain for that franchise to a new level. And I've talked about it before, but the whole pregame, you know, build up and everything was just so disgustingly loud, like such a pumped in crowd noise and like just staticky and just really bad. And then the school chant, like the soccer, it's like you're just so unoriginal and just bleh.
But like, I mean, it's kind of just like Minnesota in general, right? Like they're like, oh, we like let's like oh, Juicy Lucy's like the best hamburger, and it's like it's not
they,
even
they're
good
not you good know? Yeah, they're not good.
Like, I don't know, like that's the thing. It's just, but like that's just like Minnesota.
You've never gotten that passionate about it. Take
I love cheeseburgers. Sorry, Hank. I love cheeseburgers. I eat, on average, it probably averages out to about 300 cheeseburgers a year. Whoa. I don't know if that's true. Maybe not anymore. I love cheeseburgers.
I've already ate 6 cheeseburgers this week.
But something with Juicy Lucy's, and for people who don't know what Juicy Lucy's are, it's just a burger patty. You put cheese inside them. I don't know why we're making cheese dangerous. You know, because you bite into it. The
piping hot.
You almost have to sign something before getting a Juicy Lucy, because the server will always tell you, hey, just so you know, you're going to want to cut it because it's going to squirt. It's going to be hot. You don't want that. And it just sucks because it's like you get the juice, it all oozes out, and you have like 4 cheese bites, and the rest is like you're eating the overcooked hamburger
edges.
Yeah,
like the best part of the burger is just, you know, gripping and ripping. Like you got to like dance around and like cut it. That's what's the point of the burger then?
Yes.
It's just like you have a really good thing, and it's like you got to try so hard.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like just Minnesota in general is like they're trying
100%
so hard at everything all the time. And that's like they always, it's the same kind of thing when like Minnesotans are like shitting on Wisconsin nights, right? It's like they're shitting on, they're like, oh, they're trash. They're like hillbillies. They're like drunk. Yeah. And, but it's like we don't really think about you, you know?
Exactly.
Like, the only time I think about you is like when I'm like, God damn, I just like wish I wasn't here right now. You know? And
it really, it's just... And
Minnesota roast sesh, let's
we've
go.
Talked so much, these are the best episodes. And we've talked about how everything's so fake with them too. Literally the stupid horn that they have, it's not even a real horn. They go up and they play the audio, whatever. It's the skull chant, which they literally, you know,
stole from a soccer team.
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier. Stole from a soccer team. Everything about them is just so... I can't wait to see how poorly the stadium is going to age too. Like this glass all over is just going to turn like green and look shitty. Yeah. They had to spend millions of dollars last offseason just plastic, patching up the plastic siding that they had.
Like, what is the inspiration for that design? It looks like a piece of origami. What are they going for?
Or like... It vaguely looks like a spaceship. It looks like the, the first Star Wars movie, New Hope, the big ones that had C-3PO in it.
Star Destroyer?
Are they, no, the crawlers, the big on
the AT-ATs?
No. I'm talking desert planet. Why can't I? Tatooine.
Oh, like the Jawa's ship, the barges?
Yeah.
I guess they're not barges. I gotta.
God damn it. Can you look it up? I know there's a name for it, but that's what it looks like.
I know the sail barge is Jawa's thing.
Yes.
I can't.
God, it's the big. We'll figure it out. We'll post it from the account later too, maybe. Anyways.
Also, the worst drivers too. They merge
drivers?
At 19 miles an hour. Minnesota, like they're so like, ooh, can I?
Oh,
ooh,
sand callers.
Can I change?
Yeah,
can I get in this lane
I can't
here?
Believe I didn't
they're so that. Timid and
South Dakota was
all,
worse.
All you got to do, like, it. If you want to know anything about the Vikings franchise, just like go out on a Thursday night to like one of like, I don't know, like the western suburbs, right? Mm-hmm. And just like walk around one of their little like mall complexes and just look. Just like look at the people.
Rogers has talked about this too. The people. And it's not about everything else. It's about the people. And here, the people suck.
Mm-hmm. I think it is. God, this is we really are on a soapbox here, but like their fans have definitely influenced my view of the franchise.
Just it's because, one of the like, reasons I'm such a big fan.
If they were a little more self aware,
yes.
Like, but well, they engage in discourse as if they're this storied franchise with like a history of winning, and it's like you're not even welcome at the table here.
One of the reasons why I'm such a big fan, you were just talking about it there, is like, you know, you build off it, like the shitty Viking fans just get to you, and it was literally like, and you know him, another Kyle, who's kind of a troll. He's one of the reasons why I became such a Packer fan, because yeah. I remember going to like the bus stop and he would talk shit about the Vikings. I'm like, well, I don't know anything about the Packers. Yeah. You know, I was in like third grade or whatever it was. And over time, it's like you can't admit that you are a lesser franchise.
It's kind of a lacking self-awareness. But on the flip side of that, I do understand why a lot of NFC North fans would hate the Packers, because Packer fans are
I'd hate them the absolute worst.
What I will say,
I mean, not the worst, but Twitter. but the worst of the Packer fans are really, really bad.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'll say is that today we have learned that basically, Spencer's fandom and the inspiration for the pod has come from Vikings fans.
Wow.
No, there's different pieces.
Actually, yeah, both.
Yeah, I mean, like,
two separate Vikings fans, too.
To make that connection.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's like anything today. There's so much information out in the world, you can have any opinion and reference something.
Exactly. So, okay, so, like, don't, like, organization, not really. But, like, I have, out of all the other NFC North teams, I have respected the Vikings players, like the players that have come through there since the 90s. Like, they've had some amazing like players to watch.
They really have.
Like Fred Smoot.
Fred Smoot?
Smoot.
There you go. You respect him so much.
Same
you
thing.
Don't even.
Smut. Yeah. Fred Smoot. Like, I mean, Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah.
And the bar. Ah, you know, like, I mean.
Love Boat.
Yeah, like off the field talent.
Okay, okay.
but like, I mean, like, let's honestly, really, I mean, let's, you got AP, you got yeah. right, you got AP, Randy you got Moss. You got Randy Moss.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook is carrying the torch for AP just fine. No, we're not. We don't. No one's going to talk about that though. But
all I'm saying is that like they have had like players that like they have had the most talented rosters besides the Packers in the NFC North, and like I respect, according
to the media, if you're talking about like respecting players, I would respect the Bears defensive players over the last 15 years more than the fucking Vikings and Jared Allen running his mouth for no good reason. Mm-hmm. All those fuckers, I fuck them and fuck you, Hank.
Yeah,
Kyle, what is your score prediction,
Benny,
for this game? Score.
Wow, let me catch my breath. That was passion. Okay.
Just spitting facts.
I'm gonna go score prediction. I can't wait to hear that back. God, it's passionate, Spenny. Soak it in, people. It's rare, but
do you have your score?
I'm sorry. I'm just like,
all right, for my score. God, I'm him and Han. I don't, looking forward at the schedule, I don't think the Ravens are that big of a threat. Maybe the Browns. If we're going to lose another game this year, this is the number one I'd put up, but because whatever, I have a Packers podcast and Kyle's going to yell at me.
Yep.
I have the Packers winning 31-28.
Nice.
By a field goal. Hey, maybe it'll be a last second field goal where we're all shitting our pants wondering if the operation's going to go through, but it will. Packers win 31-28.
Ooh, Kyle. I have a better scenario.
Okay.
It's 31-28 and the Vikes have a chance to send it to overtime.
Okay.
And then, yeah. That's my bold prediction, actually. I'm going to take that.
Oh, okay.
That
so
they,
what?
They
so,
miss a field goal to go to overtime and.
Okay. I like that.
They implode. So.
So what's your score prediction?
Shit, I guess I need the Packers to win by 3 then.
Yep.
Let's go 27-24.
You just took my score.
Thank you. So Hank, what is your score?
Same.
Cool. All right. Bold prediction. Kyle, what is your bold prediction for this game?
The Vikings miss a field goal to go to overtime.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that one. Hank, do you have a bold prediction for this week? What you thinking? It couldn't possibly have to do with AJ Dillon.
Yeah, I was just thinking three touchdowns. Ooh, AJ Dillon.
I love that.
And yeah, I'm just gonna go with that. Three right. touchdowns, okay. AJ Dillon.
Okay. I'll throw this.
Well, one of them's gonna be a catching touchdown. I'm done.
Okay. All right. You're making an already bold prediction even more bold by putting more specifics on it, but okay, that works. I will have a bold prediction as well. We talked about him a little bit last week, not this week at all. Patrick Taylor, the running back Ooh. Out of Memphis, who would have been, you know, a draft pick probably if he didn't get banged up in his draft process. I have him scoring his first career touchdown
Ooh.
In this game. He is number 27, I believe. Yes.
Quick stump, Spenny. Who, what active NFL running back did he share a backfield with at his alma mater?
I'm so bad with college. Active NFL running back?
Yes.
Give me a division.
I might give it away.
AFC or NFC, I guess.
NFC.
Let's go with Swift.
No. We played him this year. Antonio Gibson.
Oh, Memphis. Okay. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did not know that.
And there was actually a third person in that backfield who's also in the league, but the name escapes me.
Okay. Yeah. I bet they probably had more than just two running backs on that team.
But that's in the NFL. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, sorry. I gotcha. Yes, that is. Not Clemson of the past. That's still crazy to look back on, but we don't have to go
Georgia,
on
you mean?
Clemson.
Georgia.
Well,
Sonny Michel, Todd Gurley.
God damn, I didn't want to do this. Clemson had Watkins.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's wide receivers. We're talking about running backs.
Oh, I was talking whatever. Anyways, everyone's favorite part of the episode. If you could please leave a review, that would be cool. 5 stars on Apple. If not, whatever. If you want a koozie, email us at pppodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at pmppod. That is it. Once again, if you go to a Verizon or any phone store, just leave a bunch of reviews on all the phones. I do not care. We are taking over the entire planet.
That's right.
Hank? Do you have an according to Hank this week?
I got something.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's get right into it. It's been a while.
Yeah. So I actually will be at the game
this weekend.
And it's
Kyle, are you?
I don't know. You trying to go?
No, I'm going to be hunting. I told you that.
Oh, that's right. I don't know. I probably won't. Okay. I mean, I'm going to the Rams game next week, so we'll
sure.
See. Yeah. I just, it's only the second NFL game I've been to.
What was the first
life.
One?
It was the Vikings-Packers game when Rodgers was hurt in 2018.
Yuck.
And it was like Hunley was starting.
Was it in Lambeau? 16-0, I think.
That's one of the last
grossest games. I was so high up, I couldn't see anything.
That's
but like
for the better.
Yeah. But like, I didn't spend a lot of money, so I'm gonna be pretty high up this time.
Hell
so,
yeah.
And so like I've been getting pretty hyped. You know, I've been drinking a lot of energy drinks. Okay. And I've been like I go to the Quick Trips because they have the G Fuel, right?
Nice.
And so like I've been thinking in between leaving cans on Uncle and Aunt's coffee tables, and I leave a little in the bottom still when they're cold to leave a few rings.
bad boy,
And so I've been like, I've been thinking caffeine gets me like I become a little devious.
Great word.
Yes. And so, I've been thinking we have a lot of gamers on the team, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
MVS. Yeah. So we have MVS, AJ Dillon,
Kurt Banker.
Good too. I've watched some of this. He's
Kurt,
nice.
Kurt Banker is like the best NFL Fortnite player, apparently. Like, he seems to be like the best gamer in the NFL.
I don't know. MVS is pretty nice on Call of Duty, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
And so I was just thinking, like, what would their G Fuel flavors be?
Okay.
Like,
do you have some ideas here?
If they're sponsored. No, I don't. I'm asking you.
Us.
Yeah. Like, well, so we got those three.
I'm not familiar with G Fuel. Like, what are some of the?
You could rehash the terrible.
Like, are they like, you know, zany strawberry or like, you know, blast from the past blueberry, like shit like that. Like, how's it named?
Name you a few.
Okay, and then we'll just go off of that. I like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's say you could just rip them off and be the G Force.
G Fuel. Oh,
already tried that. Felt miserable.
Those songs are terrible. I think they're on Spotify.
I mean, that's just not good. G Force.
I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
We got. Okay. Orange Cranthony.
Cranthony. Is that like cranberry?
Inspired by Mercanthony.
Oh. Oh, it's not a cranberry reference?
Okay.
We have the Juice Blacked Out.
That's what it's called, the juice.
The juice blacked out. We have pineapple.
That's the Henry blacked out.
Yeah. Henry blacked out. Yeah. Strawberry, pineapple, coconut. These flavors aren't very good.
But our,
we got black ooze and red ooze.
Ooh.
That's what it's called?
Mm-hmm,
ooze?
Mm-hmm. We have the sour blue chug.
The what? Sour what?
One shot girl. Strawberry slushy. What were inspired one by shot, one shot girl.
One shot MV. No.
What were the ooze ones again?
Red ooze.
And black ooze?
Black ooze.
It's not going to work as well. Red Coons, but see, that doesn't work as well.
And plus, he hasn't played in like 7 years.
Yeah, I was thinking MV Quench.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn. Yeah, I can't. There's something with A.G. Dillon's thighs you could probably put in there, but at the same time, that doesn't sound like something I want to drink.
I mean, if they promote
watermelon
that, it'd like,
crush.
Make your quads bigger.
See, there you go.
Yes.
Watermelon crush.
He crushed watermelons with his thighs this offseason, for those who don't know. That would be a good one. Okay. Yeah. Well, I like that. I wish I had more time to think, but it's hard to do it off the cuff.
Well, I know I put you all on the spot there, but I was thinking that maybe we could have some listeners tweet us their best G Fuel gamer flavors for the Packers.
G Fuel gamer flavors.
Please, someone.
Yeah.
If you're listening, send us a little, your own
Get
G Fuel.
Get a little devious.
Yeah, come on. Hey, Jeff, you emailed us about the defense. So why don't you maybe got a Twitter account? Or you can email in what your
you
flavor
know,
would be.
You know what mine would
point,
be?
What?
Failed SNL skit.
Okay. All right.
Shout out Tom.
That's good. All right. Well, we've already gone pretty long here, so unfortunately, I think we have to close out this episode. Yeah, Kyle, have you thought of a song yet? Well, why don't you think about that right now? Hank, do you have anything else?
Sorry, I can't now because I want to pick a perfect song to wear you. So
okay, the next week. Yeah. So, Kyle, do you have anything else?
No.
Hank, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That was quite the drum roll.
Well, I have a song.
Okay. Uh-oh. Okay.
But is there like a drop to where, you know?
We'll figure it out. Well, let's do this. Hank, why don't you send out the episode here? You know what I say? You don't just say it again to Kyle and then, come on, send us off.
There's too much pressure.
Yeah. Kyle, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Here's Desolation Roll by Bob Dylan.
Don't sue us.
Go, Pack, go.
They're selling postcards of the hanging. They're painting the passports brown. The beauty parlor is filled with sailors. The circus is in town. Here comes the blind commissioner. They've got him in a trance. One hand is tied to the tightrope walker. The other is in his pants. And the riot squad, they're restless. They need somewhere to go. As Lady and I look out tonight from Desolation Road. Cinderella, she seems so easy. It takes one to know one. She smiles and puts her hands in her back pocket.